Well, hello there, ladies and gents. Great to see you again. Welcome back to Lessons by the Lake, the Oswego Private Well Show. Ryan Ruff here, your moderator, but as always, I'm joined by Bob Bedritis, Managing Director of Oswego Private Wealth, and we're going to be getting into a really holistic conversation here on the podcast today. As I'm sure, you know, if you're a frequent listener or viewer of the show, you know that Bob and I dive into these different wealth management topics. We get granular in them so that you can walk away with some beneficial information. Today, we're taking a little bit more of a 10,000-foot view approach, if you will. Today's episode, again, as you probably saw when you clicked on it or pressed play, today's episode entitled The Strategic Pillars of Wealth. So what are these pillars? What do they mean? And why are they important? We're going to be getting into all this today, but we're also super excited to welcome on another special guest here to the podcast today. Today we have Joe Gertini joining us. Now, Joe is a managing director and senior investment consultant over at City National Rockdale. And there's a unique partnership between Joe's team and Bob's team that we're going to get into in a moment and just how it really helps benefit the clients that both Bob and Joe work with to really cultivate a strong number of these pillars of wealth. Really looking forward to getting into today's conversation. But before we bring Joe on, get into the nitty gritty of everything, let's say hi to Bob. Bob, good to see you this morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Ryan. So good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, always good to be with you, Bob. You know, today's, again, kind of a more holistic conversation. I know you and your team over at Oswego Private Wealth are known for helping business owners become financially independent of their businesses. And your relationship with Joe and his team is a really unique one. Why don't we just start there before we bring Joe on and get into his side of everything? But why Joe? Why'd you have him on the show, or why'd you want to have him on the show today? And then, of course, you know, what are we really talking about with these strategic pillars?
Well, first of all, I wanted Joe on the show because he's an awesome guy and he's a lot smarter than most humans I know and way smarter than I am. So he's just a great partner. City National Rockdale and Joe are great partners. And in addition to that, the three of us have a love of hockey. And Joe and I like love to talk about hockey. Joe was everything Boston. He went to Boston College, both undergrad and for his MBA. And his MBA, he specialized in asset management within the MBA. And then Joe's a certified CFA. He's a CPWA, Certified Private Wealth Advisor. He just has such a wealth of knowledge in all of these things. And just a last comment on hockey with Joe. We've been commiserating through this entire playoff season where we're at right now. And although his Bruins didn't make it, nor did my Avalanche make it through. But as we record this just last night, the Celtics just swept Indiana. So he still has something to cheer about. I don't know if I could adopt a Boston team to cheer for, but we'll see how the playoffs go from here. So Joe, it's so good to have you on the show. You know, in addition to Joe's significant background, Joe's a family man. He's married, lives up in the Seattle area, has got dogs. I mean, just so many great things. He's an outdoor guy, spends his time cooking, playing music. He's a real music aficionado. We probably won't talk about that here, but Joe could probably do a podcast for us on music. On rock and roll and every band for the last 50 years at least. But anyway, with that said, let me just kind of start. Oh, and let me mention City National Rockdale as well. City National Rockdale has been around for 35 years plus. They specialize in really working with the ultra high net worth families and business owners as we do here. They manage almost $60 billion in assets, maybe even over. Joe can correct me, tell me if they're over $60 billion in assets that they manage. But in that period of time, they've become a very valuable resource within our virtual family office. And Ryan, as you know, and those regular listeners of the show know, we focus on these five strategic pillars of success, financially speaking, for business owners and high net worth individuals. And those five pillars just happen to be the same five pillars that City National Rockdale has in their literature and how they have built their firm. So just to review really quickly, I mean, number one, we just want to do investment consulting, making smart decisions about money for our folks. Number two, we want to take care of the heirs. We want to make sure that the next generation and the next generation after that and the next generation after that are grounded in money and also have good use of that money and that it gets to them. Third, we want to talk about mitigating taxes, doing smart tax planning. Fourth, protecting those assets against unnecessary litigation. And last of all, to the extent that our clients are charitably minded, and many, many of them are, we want to make sure that we magnify those gifts of charitable giving. So that is Joe's background. That is Joe's expertise. It's so much more than just the investments. So let me stop there. Joe, let me welcome you to the show. Joe, how are you doing today?
Bob, thanks so much for having me. I'm doing well. Like you said, the Celtics swept the Pacers yesterday, so that was a joyous occasion in my household. And like you said, we're still mourning the loss of our beloved hockey teams this season. But hopefully the Bruins can build on what they've done this year and have a good year next year. But again, thanks for making the time and having me on, and I'm excited to have this discussion with you.
Well, we'll be great friends unless next year's cup is the Bruins and the Avalanche. Then I don't know. We probably need to stay out of the same room for a little while for that one. So anyway, Joe, let me just start out with just a big picture question on the five pillars, those five pillars of wealth. And there's no particular order we want to go through them on, but could you expand a little bit more than I did on the five pillars and where you see them from investment planning, asset protection, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting. The investment planning, sometimes people think that's a pretty simple process. You're just selecting investments, building a portfolio. But I think what we really want to do is bring those strategic pillars all together. And by doing that, we're also looping in the investment management across estate planning, tax planning, those with philanthropic endeavors as well. So really designing a portfolio that is tax optimized and efficient across different structures for clients. And then again, tying that back into the estate and tax planning and philanthropy as well. What I'm really seeing today is the estate planning stuff is becoming more paramount for high net worth individuals. And some folks think of estate planning as sort of an exercise they don't want to do for themselves. It's generally a fairly morbid conversation. But something that needs to be had. And sometimes folks will say, you know, we want to do some estate planning because we're thinking about our heirs, but really you can use estate planning as a tool to protect your assets. As you mentioned, Bob, we live in a litigious society, and some folks are using estate planning to really insulate their estate and protect it from creditors and outside litigation. So then tying that in as well, and of course, those that are philanthropically inclined, setting up an estate structure that aligns with those philanthropic endeavors and beliefs as well. So really, again, tying all of that together and using advanced modeling concepts and then bringing the portfolio back in so the clients really understand that everything's personalized to them, including the investments that we're using in the portfolio.
Yeah, you know, Joe, you say such an important thing because I think that so many people do view estate planning. It's just about passing the money on or maybe avoiding some taxes to the government or the particular state that they live in. But it's so much more when you to integrate all five pillars together. And estate planning is so much more than that. Last week, we dropped an episode with an estate planning attorney, Kristen Gaston, who's also awesome, like you. And we talked about the sunsetting of the estate tax unified credit right now and how that's reducing significantly on January 1st of 2026. And that should be such a motivator for people with significant wealth to start talking about these things, but not in a vacuum, as you're saying, not in a vacuum, that it really needs to be coordinated with all the other four pillars of financial wealth and of financial planning. And that's and just one other comment on that is that your firm, I mean, you and I work together, we talk about different ideas and for our clients. But in addition to that, you've got an entire team in your home office and that this is what they do. So it's such a higher level of sophistication and more resources coming to play in this.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the resource component of it is really important. You know, we're bringing that virtual family office experience to clients and surrounding them with really high quality professionals that have extensive experience. You know, in our conversations, Bob, you have myself with my investment focus joining that conversation. But then on our team, we have folks that have 30 plus years of experience focused on estate planning, licensed attorneys, CPAs. Really, and then again, that team's not designed to replace the client's existing advisors in those seats. We're there as an enhancement. We want to take sort of the planning that you do, Bob, for your clients, the great work that you continuously do, and sort of elevate that in a way by bringing those resources into the conversation. And what I find sometimes is that the existing advisors around clients are more reactive, right? Estate planning attorneys and CPAs, you know, they're more reactive in the sense that, for example, CPAs get a bunch of data and then they file the taxes. Estate attorneys, they get a mandate from the client, we want to set up this trust structure, and then they draft those documents. What we want to do is educate the clients. And I think education is a big part of what we do and what I do from the investment standpoint as well, but really educate the clients on what's available to them. And then making sure that they understand the components, the structures, the flows of the estate and all that stuff in a digestible format too.
Joe, speaking to that point about education and why it's so important, though, is there a you know, a common misconception or a pillar of wealth that you see that maybe there's less focus on from some of the clients that you work with? You know, sure, you know, I think the sexy topic, if you will, is to mitigate taxes, you know, to curb that tax bill. But do you find that there's maybe an area that doesn't get talked about or focused on? I know you mentioned estate planning is kind of a hot topic right now, but is there anything else that you're noticing that there's maybe should be more conversation around given X, Y, or Z variable at play?
Yeah, I do. And I think really where we're seeing a lot of gaps for folks, especially the ultra high net worth, it is primarily estate planning. It's one of those things, and Bob had noted with the Tax Cut and Jobs Act and that sunsetting and the federal exemption going basically getting cut in half, but really the insurance component too. So some folks don't are underinsured, you know, umbrella coverage, things like that, or life insurance policies, especially those folks that have a lot of their wealth tied up in illiquid assets, right? So they need those life insurance policies at death to theoretically pay some estate taxes, otherwise they have to sell off those illiquid assets. So really, when we're doing some of that modeling with that team that Bob and I referenced, we are discussing quite a bit insurance. And again, we're there as an educational resource. Our core business is portfolio management. We don't do anything on the insurance side, but we want to make sure from a fiduciary standpoint that we're educating the clients and making sure their estate makes sense, both today and hopefully into the future as legislative changes come about and other things happen.
Well, one of the things that I appreciate about the approach you take with City National Rockdale and your personal approach is we want to, and we do the same here, is we want to take these complex issues. You know, they say more money, more problems, right? More money, more problems. And that there are issues that the high net worth have that most people don't have when they have to deal with their financial planning. But it's to be able to take those concepts, as complex as they are, the problems as complex as they are, and take them into understandable segments. And I know, Joe, that the high net worth individuals in general have these problems. But what about business owners? Do you see business owners having different problems, more complex problems? How do you view that entrepreneur?
Yeah, the business owner market is interesting. There is a tremendous amount of wealth, and I think several studies have shown that there's trillions of dollars in wealth transfer that is likely going to happen with business owners specifically. One thing that I see with business owners quite a bit is sort of this endowment bias or this emotional connection to their assets and their business, right? And it's hard for them to conceptualize transacting their business, exiting their business. And what I find is sometimes when we're having conversations with our business owner advisory service team and clients with you, Bob, is that sometimes business owners think that their families will take over the business and that business will last, you know, 3, 4, 5 generations. But the data supports that businesses usually don't last 2 transfers, right? So when we have that conversation with business owners and then they have those conversations with their families, the dynamic changes and it starts being, what can we do to exit this business in a meaningful way? And sometimes folks still want the business to be successful, even if themselves and their family's not involved, because they built it from nothing. And so being mindful of that, and again, really helping business owners understand the types of transactions, the things we can be doing beforehand from a estate and tax efficiency standpoint, the things we can be doing post-transaction. But then, Bob, as you know this with your clients, what's life like after the business transaction? Can I continue my lifestyle? Can I be supported by my portfolio? You know, what does that look like? So I think with business owners specifically, it's always a multifaceted conversation. And at times it can be an emotional conversation as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, it comes into the human element, right? Behavioral economics, financial economics. You talk about, the business is like another child, right? It's like another child. It's your baby. You grew it from, you birthed it, and now you've taken it up into maturity. And for some business owners, of course, they can let go emotionally, and they just say, this has run its course. My children don't have an interest in this business. There are other things that drive them, motivate them, things that they would like to do with their lives. And sometimes they're in the business. And those are all things that I think need to be talked through. And in particular, we find that there needs to be a runway, and it needs to be a relatively extensive runway in order from the idea that I'm ready to pass this on to the next generation or do a third party sale or whatever the case may be. And we find that it's probably 3 to 5 years is that runway. And oftentimes it could be a health issue. It could be just a general frustration with the world as we know it today, where they just say, that's it, I'm ready to go. And they say, I want to take the next phase right now. And of course that handcuffs us a little bit. That handcuffs the business owner, most importantly, a bit. But what do you see as the ideal time frame? What kinds of things should people be thinking about first, second, third as they're preparing for that transition?
Yeah, I do think, and we'll talk about this, you know, throughout our conversation today, but the education component is so important to me personally in my discussions with clients. I always find that clients and consumers, generally, if they don't understand what they're experiencing, they just sort of have this general distrust of that engagement. So really our approach, and you know this, Bob, for the folks that we've worked with together, is it's always educating them, and we can't do enough planning for business owners. I've been involved with business owners transactions that are sort of happening at the finish line. I've been involved with them, you know, years in advance, and I've been involved with them post-sale as well. And I always say to myself, I wish I was involved sooner, because really helping the client understand all of their available options and what's the most meaningful to them. Because like you said, Bob, the emotional component and what's going to happen to the business after, for example, a private equity firm buys it. Are they going to run the business the same way and take care of the employees, or do they sell it to the employees and keep the business there through that transaction? But I do think that having sort of this advanced planning, not only in terms of the concepts, but in terms of the time frame, being part of that is equally as important. So when I do think of business owners and the steps that we need to take, usually it's first understanding the business, and then what their life is going to be like after the business. And then how do we get from point A to point B? And that's where it gets complex, right? Because there's a lot of moving parts in that segment, but really understanding who the person is and what the business is, and then what is their life like?
That's fantastic. And I hear you loud and clear. And I agree. There is no one size fits all. And it isn't about just the work we do up until the point of sale. and now you're in a new phase. But what does that look like? And it's something that takes some contemplation and I think some deep thought as to what does life look like on the other side of that sale. And so for some of our clients, it's just very, very easy. They've been wanting to work on their handicap and travel, and they're just like, I'm good, I know. But many of us, we've been working for decades and decades, 12, 15 hour days, and all of a sudden it's like, well, how do I fill that gap? You know, where's my meaning in life coming from? And, you know, for better or for worse, so many people's self-image is tied around the fact that they are the owner of a successful business.
Absolutely. And I do see quite a bit of, I see this happen somewhat frequently where business owners exit the business. They go and they work on their golf game, like you mentioned, Bob, and they travel and they see the world, but then they get bored. And usually, you know, that's who that person is. And they want to be doing something. So then what do? They start thinking about their next business venture. And then what does that look like? And, you know, Bob, in our conversations with clients, you know, how do we support them through that exercise as well? You know, they have life post-business from selling a successful business. So they have this asset base of providing them capital and they can live off that asset base. But if they start using that to start a new business, what can we be doing to support them and educate them on the possibilities and really understanding the risks to their financial well-being as well, right? And then that also will tie into the portfolio, because as clients' lives evolve, the portfolio evolves too. And that happens for the business owners as well.
Sure. I mean, this is such an interesting and exciting time of life for so many folks that do go through that sale of the business, that liquidity event, and the green pastures that lie ahead for them. But I think this segues nicely into kind of a hot topic conversation that's been popping up a lot lately in the world of wealth management and financial worlds as a whole. And that is this idea of longevity planning. I mean, folks are living longer than ever these days. And it's a matter of, you know, is your financial world going to be able to support a longer life? So Joe, what do you and your team, think about this, you know, importance of longevity planning in today's day and age where we're seeing medical advancements, just purely statistics of people living longer, so on and so forth?
Yeah, I think longevity risk is a real risk for some folks. Obviously, at times it goes the other way. People plan for longevity and they, you know, I've seen this in my time and as an advisor as well. You know, some folks build this nest egg and then something happens and then that, you know, they didn't get to enjoy the wealth that they've built. But we are seeing some folks right now really apprehensive about longevity risk and basically the risk of outliving their assets, right? And so when we do financial planning alongside Bob with our team that we have, we really map out usually till age 90 or age 100 and see, and we want to show the client sort of doomsday scenarios as well. You know, here's what happens if you live to 90 or 100 years. Here's what happens if the market performs poorly. Really addressing the client's concerns up front and making them feel comfortable with the plan, but then constantly revisiting that plan with them. And I think Bob does a fantastic job with his clients of doing this, is really making sure they understand the plan in place and how that's tied to their own personal financial well-being, rather than just seeing a portfolio and not understanding it's designed a certain way for themselves, and it's just designed in a more abstract way. So we are seeing some folks, again, be pretty apprehensive about longevity risk, but I do think, again, the education component, not to harp on that, but I really truly believe it's such an important part of what Bob and myself do, is really consistently educating and reassuring the clients that there's a plan in place that's designed to take into account that risk for them.
Well, I believe that we are the guardians of the financial wealth of the most productive people on earth. And, you know, I've often said that, you know, listen, my training is in wealth management, estate planning, tax planning, investment management, financial advising. But what I really do is protect the American dream of the most productive people on earth. And Joe, you and I also share our immigrant backgrounds. And it's this capitalistic system, the entrepreneurial spirit, that we're protecting that American dream, that wealth, for generations to come.
And Bob, I think that's a great point. And what we really want to do is guard the clients well and educate them and, again, provide reassurance to them that we have a plan in place that's designed around them. You know, what I do from the investment management and portfolio design in my seat specifically within City National Rockdale, there's mathematically the right portfolio for many clients that I can design. But how does that portfolio make sense for that person as a person, right? How do they feel about the markets? How do they feel about money? What do they place a premium on? Is it growth? Is it income? Is it stability? Is it volatility? You know, what risk can they tolerate mathematically, but also what risk can they tolerate emotionally, right? And then so intersecting the mathematical portfolio and the emotional portfolio and tying it back to that person, that helps us preserve and guard their wealth, like you said, Bob.
Well, Joe, I thank you. I think we could probably do an episode, a series on each one of the five pillars individually, but we're not using that kind of time as we do. We're doing a survey course, an overview of this. But I would just want to thank you so much for joining us on the show and sharing your wisdom. Joe, is there anything you would want to leave us with in this big conversation that we've had today?
You know, I would say the big thing that I would just suggest for those listening, again, if you're a business owner and you're thinking about transacting, have that conversation. There is some sense of urgency on the estate planning side, as you mentioned, Bob, in your episode last week, where the sunset provision of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, that is going to happen in short time, basically January 1st, 2026. It flips over and it gets cut in half roughly. So the planning that you want to be doing today is really important to take advantage of what's available to you from a legislative standpoint. But also you don't want to wait till last minute because a lot of folks will do that and then estate attorneys will get busy and then you might just be caught holding the bag. So again, I think planning as much as you can in advance of what you're trying to accomplish, having those meaningful conversations with the folks that you trust will provide you significant, hopefully significant protection of your wealth and estate and optimize it as well.
Well, that's excellent. So thank you, Joe. So grateful and appreciative that you took the time to be on the show with Ryan and myself. And last question for you. If people do want to get in touch with you, of course, the best route is to come through me and work with me. But if somebody did want to reach out and just had a question or two for you, how would they reach you?
Yeah, I'm available by email. It's joe.dratini@cnr.com. That's the best way to reach me. But of course, you know, with City National Rockdale, we only work through, you know, advisors like Bob. So the best way to reach me and have this conversation, bring our team in, is to have a conversation with Bob and Lou Busson.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Joe. Appreciate so much having you on the show.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bob, to Joe's point there, you know, for anybody that wants to open up a dialogue with you guys, talk through these pillars of wealth. How could somebody get in touch with your team at Oswego Private Wealth?
Just come right to our website, OswegoPrivateWealth.com. You have an ability to schedule a phone call with me and time for us to get acquainted and see if we might be a good fit and to see if we might be able to help you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, again, Joe, Bob, appreciate you both carving some time out of your days. I know you got clients to serve, so I'll let you get back to doing that. But there you have it, folks, the strategic pillars of wealth, a really great conversation today surrounding kind of all of the elements, the pillars of a given financial world. Joe Dratini joining us, of course, from, you know, City National Rockdale today. Look, we're going to take a final moment here now and thank you, our audience, for stopping by, spending time with us here on the podcast today. If you enjoyed today's discussion, you learned a thing or two. I know I did. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on whichever platform you checked us out on today so that you don't miss out on other great conversations where Bob and I bring on some guest experts and dive into these complex wealth management topics for you. Before Bob and Joe, I'm Ryan. We're going to go and say so long now. But we appreciate you stopping by and being with us on Lessons by the Lake. Oswego Private Wealth Management podcast may have been previously disseminated by Bob Adritis on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Bob Adritis or his guest as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only an expression of his or his guest's opinion. Adritis' opinions are based upon information he considers reliable, but neither Oswego Private Wealth Management nor its affiliates warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. Adritis and Oswego Private Wealth Management are not under any obligation to update or correct any information provided. Investment advice offered by Oswego Private Wealth Management and does not guarantee any specific outcome or performance. You must make an independent decision regarding investments and strategies mentioned by Adritis or a guest. Before acting on information you hear, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor. This information is for general purposes only and is not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Oswego Private Wealth Management does not provide legal, tax, mortgage advice, or services. Please consult your legal, tax advisor regarding your specific situation.